Today's message begins with this thought, so when you're gone. Have you ever thought about that? When you're gone, if you died today, what would be different? Whose lives would be affected? How would the world change? So I want you to think with me for just a moment. If you died today, what will they say about you? Go ahead and think about that. Maybe you want to nudge the person beside you and say, I think here's what they'll say. If you're a wife and you would die, what's your husband going to say? If you're a husband and you die, what's your wife going to say about you? How about your kids and neighbors and co-workers and church friends? And at the funeral, what do you think the preacher's going to say? I don't very often bring up negative things about people. Just point out the positive. But what if we made a complete review of all of our lives at the time of the funeral and said, well, here's the really terrible things about him and here were the really great things. There were these three fellows standing at the casket of a friend of theirs who had died and began to try to answer that question. What do you want people to say about you when you die? And the one fellow said, well, I hope they say I was successful and a smart businessman. I was creative and goal-oriented and a good provider. And the second fellow said, well, you know, I think I'm probably more relational. I hope they say I was a good husband and a good father and dedicated to my family and I cared about people. And the third guy thought for a moment and he said, you know, when I'm laying there and they're looking at me, I hope somebody says, look, he's breathing. Today's message. So when you're gone, living now to make a difference then. Now, I don't mean living now to make a difference when you go to heaven. I mean living now to make a difference on the earth when you're gone. What difference will it make? I want to encourage you that you can do something now about what they will say then. Understand? The text is Philippians 1:21. The Apostle Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Most often when we speak from this verse, we speak about dying is gain. And go on to say that Paul says, I'd rather be with the Lord because that's Christ. Today I don't want to concentrate on that. You see, but this message is not about the dying. This message is about the living. About what you're going to do with the rest of the time you have left. Paul said this, to live is Christ. I'm sure many of us have memorized that verse. We've said those words, but maybe we've not taken the time to meditate upon, to evaluate what that really means. So let me emphasize again, this message is not about where you're going. It's about what you're leaving behind. This message is not even so much about you, it's more about us. What are we going to say about you? What difference will you have made in our lives if you die first? It's a worthy thought. To live is Christ. It's a message about your husband or your wife, your children, your neighbors and your friends, your co-workers and your church and even the preacher. So I would ask, first of all, what do you think it means to live is Christ? Specifically, that means Christ is my portion. I'm His property. I'm His servant. Every breath is about Christ. Every day is about Christ. Every thought is about Christ, says Paul. And that's awfully lofty. When it says to live is Christ, it means I no longer have an obligation to the flesh. I don't have to live like the world lives. You see, once there was a need to fulfill the temporal and the earthly gratifications, but now to live as Christ. I no longer live like the rest of the world. I no longer live like I used to live. To live as Christ means I am free. I'm free to live. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He said, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. They have an obligation to sin. One sin leads to another. You repent of the sin calls you back. And Jesus said, everybody who sins becomes a slave. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And so if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. So I want you to get, this isn't about Ecclesiastes, a time to die. This is about Ecclesiastes, a time to live. This isn't about, you see, getting ready to go to heaven. This is about making a mark upon the earth while you're yet alive. How will we speak of you? How will we think of you when you're gone? What difference will you have made in our lives? It's about new life, new purpose, new joy, new pleasures, a new sensitivity, new relationships, a new song, a new drive, a new you, a new talk, a new look, a new do, a new outlook. Everything's new in Jesus. Are we living that way? Recently, in speaking with someone, she shared with me that her sister used to come here, and her sister doesn't come here anymore. She said that our church is mostly about doom and gloom. And I said, you know, I sort of agree with her. We're quick to talk about the wrong and talk about repentance and talk about the condemnation of sin, and we should. But we ought to be just as quick to talk about the freedom in Christ, the purpose of living, the joy in knowing Jesus. Sometimes I think that I bring it on that perhaps, you know, to have a hobby is sinful. If you like to fish or you like to do woodwork or you like to go to ball games, sometimes I think I lay a guilt trip on people because that's not of Christ. Yes, it is, if you make it about Christ. And so I want you to say with Paul, to live as Christ, but you're not Paul. Anybody here signed up to be the apostle to our day? You see, you and I don't work the same place. We don't have the same income. We don't have the same taste in dress. We don't have the same body shape. There's not much the same about us. But all of us are living unto Christ if we're living the way that God wants us to live. Matthew Henry said this, the glory of Christ ought to be the end of our life. The grace of Christ, the principle of our life. And the word of Christ, the rule of it. All of us can live to Christ. For to live is Christ. So I want to meditate. I want to expound upon this thought today. And I want to share with you three worthy, purposeful directives about Christ is life. Life is Christ. To live is Christ. The first one is this. To live is Christ. So live while you're alive. Get it? Sometimes we get so heavenly minded we forget to live for Christ while we're on this earth. And we ought to live in celebration of Christ. Now here's the truth about every one of us here. We are born. Every one of us has been born. None of us were created. We were born. Now, I want you to take a couple of tests for me. I want you to prove to yourself that you are alive today. Hold your finger up under your nostrils just like this and breathe in and out. If you don't think that works, okay, can you feel that breath? Hold your glasses. See if they fog up. You're living. Okay, now take your own pulse. See if it's in there. Is your heart beating? See, that's because you were born. Now pinch your arm. Does it hurt? See, that's because you're alive. Blink your eyes and the lights go off and on. That's part of living. Now, check your neighbor for me, okay? Run those tests on your neighbor for just a moment. Put your finger under their nose and check their pulse and give them a pinch just to see. So we're all born. Now Jesus said, listen, once you're born, if you're going to live, if you're going to be free indeed, you must be born again. And that's where we're going to drive today. To live is Christ. That's not about physical life. That's about spiritual life. Let's see if the breath of God drives us. Let's examine ourselves to say, do I have a spiritual pulse? Does my neighbor have a spiritual pulse? Here's what I'm after, that you live with a joyful, contagious feeling. Not just begrudging drudgery. See, there's a lot difference between just, hey, Jesus said to do it, so I'll do it. Are you going to heaven when you die? And living it, and loving it, and believing it. And it becomes contagious. I think in the church we're so often afraid to talk about feelings, because if feelings drive the truth, sometimes things get out of balance. But Jesus Christ said we are to worship God, we are to worship Him with our very lives, in spirit, with a small s, and according to truth. Now, if I tell my wife I'm in love with her, it's a completely different message than if I just say, yeah, I love you, honey. And, man, I love you. You know, it makes a big difference, right? And so, if we're in love with Jesus, and all we do is go through the outward motions, and there's no feeling, I would say, is that Christ? Is that to live is Christ? I don't think so. I want us to see if we have the eyes for Christ, the eyes of Christ for this life. The eyes that see things like He sees them. You see. I want to challenge you to do a little spiritual CPR on your neighbor. To draw them out. To do something about the spiritual deadness that surrounds us if we'll allow it. Paul said, for to me, what? To live is... Oh, that was enthusiastic. For to me, to live is... Okay. Is that exciting, or is that like, eh, that's what Paul said. Let's dig a little deeper. Open your Bible to John chapter 15, verses 7 to 12. Now what we're going to do is take that for to live is Christ and see, you know, how can we understand that further by allowing the Scripture to explain itself. So we're going to go to John 15 beginning in the 7th verse, and we're going to meditate upon, we're going to dwell upon, we're going to muse about, we're going to take time to think about all that it says. We're going to meditate on two passages today. Now I want to remind you, one of the best definitions of meditation is this: like a cow chewing its cud. To meditate upon a Scripture means that you chew on it and digest it, and you regurgitate it and chew on it some more. So let me illustrate for you meditation, if you look up here. Okay? It's chewing and swallowing, and then, like a cat or dog does before they bring it back up. A cow does that. You just don't notice it so much because you don't keep one in your living room. Okay? And then you chew on it some more and swallow it again and bring it up again. Now, you illustrate meditation for me. Ready? Everybody, chew. Come on. Swallow. Bring it up again. Come on. And swallow again. That's what we're doing with the Word. This is not an unfamiliar passage of Scripture. John 15, beginning in the 7th verse. If you abide in me, this is Christ, this is living Christ, for to me is live. If you abide in me, Paul said, to me, to live is Christ. Jesus said, here's how you live me, abide in me, and my words abide in you. You will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. Just take that verse as a stand-alone verse. That's an amazing thing. If you are living Christ and you are thinking Christ and you are doing Christ's will, and Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do. I think too often we explain that verse away and say that really doesn't work that way. But if we're abiding in Christ, it works that way. And then he said this, by this my Father's glorified in you. If you're living Christ, what's my dad looking for? He says that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Are you into fruit bearing? See, that's what living Christ is. As the Father loved me, I've loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The most oft-repeated word in that passage of Scripture is the word abide. We're going to meditate upon, we're going to chew on that, we're going to say, what does that mean? Well, I think this, that in our everyday language, the way we speak today, to abide means to hang out. Okay? When we talk to our kids today, they say, hey, can I go to the mall? Sure. What are you going to do there? I don't know, just hang out. Hey, can I go to my friend's house and pick him up? And what are you going to do? Well, just hang out. Well, that's the concept of abiding. We have a youth ministry house called Legacy. If you ask the kids, what do you do there? Most often they say, hey, we just hang out. Come on and hang out with us. It's a new word for fellowship. See, the adults, the old people like me, aren't apt to say, hey, you want to hang out today? But we might say, come on over. You know, let's have some fellowship. And that's what it means here, to abide, to stay close, to get our peer pressure from, to hang out together so much that you can hardly tell the difference one from another. The root picture is grapes growing on a grapevine. And if you took the juice out of the vine and the juice out of the grape, it's the same lifeblood, so to speak. You see, you can't tell the difference. So let's go back to that passage. And every time we see abide, let's put in the word hang, the phrase hang out. Okay, that's meditation. I'm not retranslating the Bible. I'm just trying to get it into a picture that we can understand. So Jesus said, if you hang out in me, my words will hang out in you. You'll ask whatever you desire and it will be done. And my Father's glorified when you bear fruit, so you'll be my disciples. And as the Father loved me, I've loved you. Hang out in my love, said Jesus. If you keep my commandments, you will hang out in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and hang out in his love. And you can finish the passage. It's the scene. It's the scenario. It's the place to be. Abiding in Jesus. So if you're going to live Christ, if Christ is going to live in you, if for you to live is Christ, it means you will abide in Him. His Word will abide in you. You will keep the commandments because you love the Father. You'll love the Father like the Son loved the Father. You'll receive the blessings from the Father like the Son received the blessings from the Father. You'll bear much fruit. See, live in an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. That's to live Christ. With Jesus and with Jesus' people. When you hang out with people like Jesus, you'll be like Jesus. You'll stay close to Jesus. Your main peer pressure will come from Jesus. So much that when you leave, they'll say, he reminded me a lot of Jesus. What are they going to say when you're gone? See, live in joy. Joy. Jesus' life typically was illustrated as a man who lived in an abiding joy, in holy living, in life-changing love. Once or twice we read about him exercising his righteous indignation when he overturned the table of the money changers. Jesus was against some things. But I've got to remind you, he did that once or twice. Most often, he lived in this great joy. this holy life, this life-changing love. I observe in the church, some of us are always mad about something. We consider criticism a gift of the Holy Spirit. There are people who can sit back to anything, whether it's the temperature, too many videos, why didn't they make a better, illustration of the meeting after church after second service? I just want to challenge you to go back to your new sheets for about 4 weeks. And we've been telling you, and somebody's come to say, I didn't know that. And we go, why doesn't that church? That's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. We lose our joy. And when we lose our joy, we make no positive eternal difference. When you live like that, here's what people will say about you when you die. All I know is, I don't want to be like her. I don't want to be like him. That's what they'll say. Jesus said, bear much fruit. We're in the fruit-bearing business. Our life is about making lives, other disciples for the kingdom. Will you be remembered for things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Is that what I'll say when you die? Boy, she was just one of the most joyful people I've ever met. He had a blessed peace about his life. He had to be one of the most gentle men I've ever met. That's what we ought to be hearing if we're bearing the fruit. In John 10:10, Jesus said this, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. See, we should live abundantly to God's glory, the overflowing life. So are you living it up for Jesus' sake? Are you just surviving? Or are you thriving? See. So, I just encourage you, first of all, to live while you're alive. Live while you're alive. Secondly, to live is Christ. So, live to make an eternal impact on people. Remember I said living today to make a difference then. Not about when you die and go to heaven to get a reward. Talking about what you leave behind. And I'm just asking, how are people going to be different when you check out? What difference have you made in people's lives while you live? People are important. The only thing in this room that upon which we can make an eternal impact is one another. I can preach to the pew all day long, but it won't change the pew. See? So remember, this message is not about where you're going when you die. It's about what you leave behind. So let's concentrate on the kind of person you should be now, so it'll make a difference then. Someone said there are three kinds of people in this world. People who make things happen. People who watch things happen. And people who wonder what happened. And I think that we all do fall into that category, one of those three at maybe different areas of our lives. But for sure, as the disciples of Jesus Christ, we should be the people who are making it happen. There's no doubt about it. He called His church to go make disciples, to change the world. We're not to be the kind of people who sit back and just react. We're to be the kind of people who are out making it happen. People. What do you think about people? Now, if we had a recording of some things you said about people this week, what would I surmise that you think about people? Here's what God thinks about people. God loved people so much that He gave His only Son, that whichever people believed on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. He had one Son. Wasn't that cool, Cade, this morning? Seeing Jeff up there, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. See, that's the abiding love. And God took His only one and said, I'll let Him die. And His only one died for us, for people. So for sure, God loves people so much He gave His Son, and Jesus loves people so much He died for their salvation. So when we talk about living to make a difference and living to make a difference in people's lives, I guess we ought to be loving people. See, living for Christ is loving like Christ. Can we argue against that statement? Living for Christ is loving like Christ. Remember to love God and love people. Check the bottom of your news sheet, both sides. That'll be there for quite a while. Love God, love people. I'm going to add to that beginning next week. It's going to say, love God, love people here and now. See, we can love people from a distance, but we need to love the people here. And we can claim to love people when they get their act together. But God didn't wait for us to get our act together. He loved us then. We need to love people now. Love people here and now. It's so much the same. It's like one word. Love God, love people. See what it looks like? That should be a North Street thing. Remember, that came from the CIY conference this year, and Aaron Pelsu, the worship leader, with the Hebrew tattoos. And I said, what do your tattoos say? And he just looked, love God, love people. Isn't that what Jesus said when they said, what's the greatest command? He said, it's to love God first and then love people. And so, if we're going to make a difference in people's lives, I guess we ought to love people here and now. Loving God and loving people means that we are loving the lost. Do you love the lost? And it means loving the saved. And it means loving the easy to love. And it means loving the hard to love. And when we start to get things out of whack and say, you know, I'm not so concerned about what I leave behind. I just want to get to heaven. We ought to remember that God loves people more than anything, like the song says, and we ought to be just like Him. If He does, shouldn't we? So how will people be different when you leave us? What will they say? Will they say, you know, I loved her, but she yelled all the time. Or he was mean. Or he really worked hard, but I never really knew my dad. She never seemed to be satisfied. Oh, they took me to church, but that was it. I never remember my dad reading his Bible or seeing my mom praying. Is that something your kids would say? Or might they say, we went to church every Sunday, but as soon as we got home, it started all over again. We just lived like everybody else. Or, we went to church every Sunday, but as soon as we got in the car, we just talked about everybody. Is that what they'll say? I hear this a lot. I know my dad loved me, but he never once told me. Man, make it happen today. You make it happen today. Don't let your kids say that about you when you're gone. Or will they say, he lived to make a difference in people's lives. That's my dad. That was my husband. Yeah, he wasn't home as much as he should, but you know, he was out there making a difference. Anybody watch the Billy Graham special last night? That was one thing that was very evident, that, and I'm not excusing it, but Mrs. Graham raised those kids because he was on a mission from God. Or might they say something like, you know, when he talked to you, it was like he didn't have anything else to do. He was just focused on you. Wouldn't that be a good thing to say about one of us? Or somebody might say, my parents didn't leave a lot behind because they lived sacrificially all their life. Wouldn't that be a good thing to have said about us? Or my mom was the real thing. Or my dad was my best friend. See, you can do something now about what they're going to say then. You know, Joe, he wasn't a stranger to anybody. He would do anything for anybody. He'd even give you the shirt off his back. And kids, you don't have the promise of tomorrow either. What if something happened to you today? What mark would you leave behind? Maybe you ought to spend a little time thinking about it and talking about it. So secondly, I've simply said, live now to make an eternal impact on people. See, live while you're alive and live to make a difference in people's lives. And lastly this morning, to live is Christ, so live to make a difference for time and eternity. While the clock's still kicking, ticking. That's pretty good. Clock is kicking, clicking. Okay. While the clock is still ticking, make a difference for those who will live in the now. For now and for forever. I meditated on that a little bit and thought about Jesus. And I come up with a new little phrase. WDJD, not what would Jesus do, what did Jesus do? What did He do about the here and now? Of course He made a difference for eternity, but He made a difference for people in this life, in His time. Didn't He feed the hungry with food for the stomach? Feeding of the 5,000. He didn't say to the people, "Yeah, you're not hungry anymore." You ever think of that? He could have said that. He could have just taken away the appetite and just said, "I don't need to feed you. And by the way, you're not hungry." And he went, "Oh yeah, I'm full." But he didn't. He got some biscuits and some sardines from heaven and fed everybody with real food. And didn't he heal the lame and the sick of physical infirmities? He didn't just say, "You'll be whole in heaven." He said, "I'll fix you up right now. See? I'll take care of your needs." He helped Peter pay his taxes. And then I got to thinking, at a wedding feast, he bought drinks for everybody. Oops. He made the best wine of the whole day. And I'm not saying in the name of Jesus go buy drinks for everybody. If anybody wants to say, "You know what our preacher said today?" I'm simply saying He met physical needs on this earth in this time. So as you love God and love people, live to make a here and now difference. Here's another verse to meditate upon. Ephesians 2:10. So get ready to meditate. Let me see you getting ready. Come on now. Okay, in Ephesians 2:10 it says, "For we are His workmanship." That's something to meditate upon. Did God make you the way you are, who you are, the shape you are, the desires you have? We're His workmanship. He crafted us. Now, why did He craft us? Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Now, He didn't create us simply to go to heaven. He created us to do good on this earth now, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He already knows ahead of time the ones He desires you to do. Good works now make a difference, you see. As we are getting ready for the day we leave, we ought to be doing good works. That's the name of the game. See, that's why it's permissible for me to get excited about people and about programs and about buildings and about going places. I don't know, it's just in Kathy and me both. We like to travel, we like to experience new places and meet new people and do new things. It's the way we're both made. Life is a bit of an adventure when you set out on a journey like that. And some people would say, you'll never get me on a plane. I've never been out of the state but once. I'd never want to leave this country. And we're saying, we can't wait to go again. Now, does that make me worldly? No, that means when I go, I'm going to do good works in His name, making a difference for now in the people's lives who live on this earth and for eternity. See, life is so much fun if we see the value of good works. You like to play ball? Get out there and play it for Christ. Making a difference for now and eternity. You're a good musician? Use it for the glory of God. You see, you travel, you build, whatever it is. Making an earthly difference while we lay up treasure in heaven. That's really cool. See, when we do a good work in the name of Jesus Christ, the needy person gets the benefit, God gets glory, and we get, you know, credit in heaven, so to speak. We're laying up that treasure there. We get the reward. So Paul said, to die is gain. And that's true. And he said, I'd rather just go ahead and die. I'm not there with Paul. I mean, if I die, it's fine. It's God's will. But I don't have that attitude. I'd rather live a while longer. As I told you, I'd like to be 100 when I die, preaching and drop dead in the middle of a sermon. I really mean that. I think that would be cool. And you'd remember one sermon in my whole life. You'd say, here's what you'd say about me. He loved to preach so much, he preached till he died. See, that's what you'd say. Okay, but anyhow, Paul says to die is gain, and it is, but to live is what? Woo. For to me is to live is Christ. Christ living for Christ, letting Him dwell in us so that it's all about Him. Now listen, we all leave something behind. There's not one of us who will not leave something behind. To quote Lewis Hogan, who often said, people, let me tell you, no one will be remembered by what they got, but by what they gave. And if you go see Lou today, I imagine he'd tell you that. And that's really true. You won't, you know, at your funeral, we're not going to say, and he saved $1.5 million. Isn't that neat? It doesn't come up. See? So, in order to make a difference for time and eternity, I would just ask you, what are you doing with your money? You making a difference? What are you doing with your stuff? Are you making a difference? What are you doing in your relationships? That one vertical, necessary one and those many horizontal ones. What are you doing with the time you have left? Now, we all leave something behind. Some will say, I don't leave any money. There's no money and there's not much stuff. But I guarantee I've done enough funerals to know everybody leaves a legacy. They could be penniless and naked, but they leave a legacy behind. They did make a difference, positive or negative, in people's lives. And that's the difference you made while you lived. So as we close, I might say, some of you might say, I do need to change courses. I've not thought much about here and now. I've thought a lot about, is Jesus my Savior? Am I going to heaven? I'm saying, what about us? The way you live, you see, is going to make a difference. And I'd ask you, if you made a change, if you did some remodeling in your life and it resulted in even one person turning out differently, wouldn't it be worth it? Would one changed life matter? Moms, would your daughter speaking well about you at your death be worth it? You know, there's bitterness sometimes there. Dads, You think if you made some changes, you could make up for some of the screw-ups you've done? So that the overwhelming memory is, you know, about age 55, I saw a big change in my dad. That's the dad I remember. See, couldn't you make a difference? I think so. So I just want to remind you to make a difference for now and for eternity. So just take a moment to think about it. What will they say when you're gone? You can do something about it beginning now. You've been born. Are you born again? Are you abiding? Are you hanging out in Jesus? Are you bearing fruit in His name? What do you think about people? What difference are you making in their lives? You might be set for eternity, but what about now? What about here and now? Are you going to leave your mark behind? Will people know that you were here? And then I just say, you know, do you want to live in such a way that will make a difference? And I would hear, yes, but. Some of you already make an excuse to say, you know, if my husband wasn't such a jerk, I could be a lot better wife or a lot better mother. Some men are saying, you know, her? You want me to change toward how I treat her? Now? The world's falling apart, and Pastor, you want me to get my relationships together? We're in war, and we have a big election coming up, and gas is going to go up again. I've got too much to think about to worry about these kinds of things. And the but needs to come off the yes. We need to leave our big buts behind and just say yes. So let's stand, and if the Lord wants you to come up here, you come up here. We want to pray with you about anything, for any reason. Somebody might say, you know, hey, I haven't been living the way I should for now, and I need some help. You come. If the Spirit does come.